We are reading from 1 Samuel chapter 28. And I realized that last time I didn't keep to my word when I was speaking with the youths upstairs. I told them that I would end my time with them by praying in Shona, but we were running out of time. And I realized that I never really prayed in Shona for them. And so as we get to share the word, I would love to pray, but I will pray in Shona. It's a safe prayer, it's a good prayer, I assure you. I'm not going to pray anything that is not biblical. I say this because I know you will not hear me pray, you would not hear what I will say. But I will pray. Let's bow and pray. Mwari wa masimba ose ndino kutendai. Mazvita baba nemukana wamatipa mangwanani anu kuti tive muvepo wenyu. Muri mwari kunoku, muri mwari pandinenge ndiri kumba. Muri mwari asingashanduke zuro, nasi kunyangwe nokusinga pere. Muri mwari anoramba ari pashoko rake. Zvatiri kupinda mushoko renyu mwari mangwanani anu ndinokumbira kuti imi mwari muridzi weshoko muve pakati pedo. Baba, taurai nemoyo yevanhu venyu. Vakonesei maringe nekuda kwenyu. Mushandure moyo yavo muvakurudzire. Neniwo mwari mundipe kugoneswa kwekuti nditaure shoko renyu kuvanhu venyu nemutoo unokufadzai, nemutoo uchatendera Mweya Mutsvene kuti afambe pakati pedu. Mweya Mutsvene, fambai pakati pedu muite sezvamunoda. Muzita raIshe wedu Jesu Kristu ndinonamata. Amen. All right, thank you. So that was Shona. We have a lot of languages, but Shona is what I speak often. So the book of Samuel, quite an interesting book. And it talks about Saul, the king. We will read from the third verse. It says, "Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And so had removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritists. So the Philistines gathered together and came and camped in Shunem. And so gathered all Israel together, and they camped in Gilboa. When Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. When Saul inquired of the Lord, the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, 'Seek for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her.' And his servants said to him, 'Behold, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor.' Then Saul disguised himself by putting on other clothes and went, he and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, 'Conjure up for me, please, and bring up for me whom I shall name to you.' But the woman said to him, 'Behold, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off those who are mediums and spiritists from the land. Why are you then laying a snare for my life to bring about my death?' Saul vowed to her by the Lord, saying, 'As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing.' Then the woman said, 'Whom shall I bring for you?' And he said, 'Bring up Samuel for me.' When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, 'Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul.' The king said to her, 'Do not be afraid, but what do you see?' And the woman said to Saul, 'I see a divine being coming up out of the earth.' He said to her, 'What is his form?' And she said, 'An old man is coming up,' and he said, 'And he is wrapped with a robe.' And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and did homage. Then Samuel said to Saul, 'Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?' And Saul answered, 'I am greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me and no longer answers me, either through prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may make known to me what I should do.' And Samuel said, 'Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary? The Lord has done accordingly as he spoke through me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and has given it to your neighbor, even to David.'" Amen. This is a very sad portion of scripture for me. very sad because this is the end of King Saul's life. He has up until now tried to dearly hold on to the crown. You know, by whatever means possible, he wanted to remain the king. It didn't matter, you know, what it would cost him to be the king. And it is surprising to me that he would even do that. Because to start with, it was God who called him and even made him the king. It was not a question that Saul was the king. But he had a lot of insecurity. He thought that he was able to come to a place of losing, or he would lose the kingdom or even the crown. And that's why the first time that he makes the most grievous mistake, or the mistake that costed him the kingdom, was when they were fighting the Amalekites. And you know, he was supposed to wait for Samuel, the man of God, to come and to help, you know, or to give an offering to God before they engaged the enemy. And he felt that he was losing his men. In fact, he says that to Samuel. He said, I felt uncomfortable and my men felt uncomfortable because the army of the enemy was advancing. And I knew that if I keep on waiting for you, by the time that you come to us, there wouldn't be many people there. And I wanted to be able to keep the morale of the people. In other words, I still want to remain the king in their eyes. If I don't do this thing, they will then not look at me as a king. I will lose my position in their sight. He felt that he was losing the kingdom that God has given him. And so he went on to do that which he knew he was not supposed to do. And that was so sad that he felt that way. Because God had given him the kingdom. And it's so true sometimes, even in our own lives, that even though God has saved us, and he says no sin, no demon, no circumstance, nothing can separate you from the love of God. That oftentimes we try to put our energy and our strength into trying to sustain our walk with the Lord. But yet Scripture says we can never sustain our walk with the Lord. There's nothing that you can ever do in your strength that will make God love you more than he loves you already. You know, the Christian walk is not one that we try to impress God by what we do. It's one that we just should be because that's what we are. That's who we are. We are children of God. You are a child of God whether you're in church, you're a child of God whether you're on the road, you're a child of God whether you're at work or at home. That never changes. You are a child of God when you go through difficult situations. You are a child of God when you go through the best moments of your life. God never changes. He loves us the same. Yet King Saul was very much uncomfortable. He felt so much insecure. And I believe it all comes back to this theme that we have, that we need to be transformed. And why is that? Because in the first place, and that's something that I struggled with the Lord with. I'm like, but God, why are you so hard with this guy? He never wanted to be the king in the first place. He actually said, leave me alone. I come from the least tribe and I come from, you know, I don't want to be king. He ran away from the kingdom and somehow God dragged him into this place where he made him the king. But even at that, when God made King Saul the king, there is something that God did which was, I think, at the heart of why he became so insecure and why he eventually lost the kingdom. Because when he was crowned the king, remember when he was anointed the king at that feast by Samuel, the Bible says when he was going back home, he met a company of the prophets, and the Bible says the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he began to prophesy. And I think that was the key that should have maintained his kingdom, which I think he threw away. You see, when we come to the Lord, God doesn't want us to use our own strength and effort to walk with him. He makes a provision for us to be able to walk with him. He sends his Holy Spirit and he comes upon us and he transforms us. The Bible says when King Saul, when the Spirit of God came upon him, he was transformed into another man. He became a different man. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, you become a different person than the one you are. God gives you spiritual ability to walk with Him. God gives you the spiritual strength to walk with Him. God gives you the ability to have joy, even in situations and circumstances where it is not possible to do so. And I think God's intention was for Saul, the king, to continue to walk in that anointing and into that presence of the Holy Spirit. It was not just supposed to be a one-time thing. It was supposed to be something that he was continually living in. You remember in the New Testament, Acts chapter 2, the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in tongues and do things for the Lord. When you go on even into, I think, two chapters after that, you find that they gather together, they pray, and they were filled again by the Holy Spirit. So they needed to continually be filled by the Holy Spirit. They needed to continually live in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was not supposed to be an experience that they encounter when they are in the church. And oftentimes I feel believers, when they come to church, they're like, I feel the presence of God in this church. But when they are walking the road, I hardly feel believers saying, I feel the presence of the Lord as I'm walking by. It seems like people feel the presence of the Lord more when they are in church other than when they are in their homes or at work or elsewhere. But God wants us to feel the Holy Spirit as much as we feel Him here, to feel Him in when we are walking, to feel Him when you are bathing, to feel the same when you are at home. To just be filled with the Holy Spirit, not for worship, but being filled with the Holy Spirit for life, for the way that I raise my children, for the way that I walk with my wife, for the way that I walk with my friends, for everything that is in my life, for that situation that you're going through. But I think the problem with King Saul is he was filled with the Holy Spirit and went away from that experience and didn't move with the Holy Spirit from there. In fact, the Bible says that an evil spirit, instead of the Holy Spirit, an evil spirit came upon Saul and it began to torment him. And that brought a lot of depression and a lot of anxiety in his life. Because instead of the Holy Spirit, there was now another spirit that was upon his life. And that's why I say it's so sad that when we come to the end of his life, that he is still that desperate and still so much anxious and still so much trying to hold on to that which God would have gladly given him or had already gladly given him before. It's so sad. But I like his understanding. So
take this off. Thank you.
All right.
That's all right. Thank you.
So we come to this battle here. And Saul understands something that is very significant, which I felt that the Lord wanted me to share with you this morning. As the enemy was coming and as they were preparing for battle, Saul never questioned the ability of his army to fight against the enemy. Saul knew something that was very significant and very important. He knew that to win a war of this nature. You're going to move this up
though. All right. That's all right.
You're good. All right. Thank you. I guess I need to get I'm back.
All right. I feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger says, I will be back. I feel like. So I like what Saul does, but he does that a little too late. Because he knows that it doesn't matter how much ammunition he has. It doesn't matter how many soldiers he have. He has. Wars were never won in the physical. So he goes to the Lord. The Bible says he inquires of the Lord and God, am I going to be successful? Am I going to be victorious in this battle? Then God doesn't answer him. He tries to look for prophets and nothing works. He never hears the voice of the Lord. Yet he knew in his heart that a war is never won because of physical means. It has to be won in the spiritual realm. And I feel the Lord is telling me some people are battling issues in their own lives, even in this church today, that you have a struggle that you have. You have tried some physical solutions to it. You have borrowed money to be able to cover this. You have gone to specialists to seek help. You have asked friends for advice and for wisdom. You have done everything physically or emotionally, socially, or otherwise possible that you can do in your own strength. Yet the Lord is saying the war is never won at that level. And I'll show you. I mean, I think both Saul and David knew that. So David also faces a war similar to this one. The Bible says David faces Goliath. Goliath comes and he says, I'll feed your head to the birds of the air. And David says to Goliath, I come to you in the name of the Lord. In other words, he knew it didn't matter whether I'm this small. It didn't matter whether I do not have any sword with me. It doesn't matter whether I don't have any weapon with me. But if we are going to war this, to win this battle, this war, it has to be done at a spiritual level. And I believe that God is calling you to retreat into Him concerning the issues that you are going through, concerning the struggles that you have, that you remove your eyes from the physical things that are around you and the reason for why you are struggling, even the source of your struggle, but to begin to focus on the Lord and to give yourself to the Lord. That's why Saul retreats. He doesn't even say, let's count to see if we have enough men. He doesn't even say, let's count our ammunition to see if they will be sufficient. But he knew if the Lord says the word, that will be sufficient. Because God is able to rescue by few or by many. It is God who is able to do that. Look at the story of Gideon. We see that. It doesn't have to be numbers. It doesn't have to be many people fighting on your side. It just has to be the Lord himself being on your side. And so we see that Saul seeks the Lord and he inquires of the Lord and the Lord does not he speak to him. The Lord is quiet and Saul goes to look for a spirit medium, which is the other reason why this story is so sad. Remember, it is Saul, and the Bible says where we have read that in the first place it was him who took away all these spiritists and the mediums and he cast them away from the land. When we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, there are those things that we removed out of our lives. We cast out of our lives because we knew that God was sufficient in himself for us. We didn't need those things for our joy anymore. We didn't need those things for our victory. We didn't need those things to feel that we are important anymore. We didn't need those things for significance. We knew that with the Lord alone, God is enough. But how so sad that sometimes when we do not have the Holy Spirit in us, that we turn back to those very things that we had turned away from. There are so many of us who are turning back to those same old sins because God is silent in our lives. I no longer have joy, so I'm turning back to my addictions. I no longer have victory, so I'm turning back to the source, to those things that I used to believe in. For us, if it was in Zimbabwe, people begin to turn back to witch doctors. People begin to turn back to ancestral worship. I don't know what it is for you that in your moment of struggle, what is it that you are turning to other than the Lord? And it was so sad that Saul was turning back to those things that he knew were not life-giving, those things that he knew displeased God. That's why it's so sad. And I like that Samuel comes. Now, this verse is very confusing to many people. But to me, it is not very much confusing. Because in Africa, I always give people a testimony that my name is Jack, which is my real name, by the way, Makukutsi, which is my last name. My middle name is Jakara. Now, Jakara is my great-grandfather's name. Because our people believe that when somebody dies, they don't truly die. They just transition into a higher place and they begin to mediate between men and God. And so sometimes those spirits of the dead, they come upon, you know, a name bearer. In this case, I was supposed to be the one who through whom the spirit of my grandfather would come. And when that does, I know many people don't believe it. They're like, those guys are crazy. They don't just believe in. But for us in our context, when the spirit of the dead comes, even if I didn't know him, I will begin to speak like him so that those people who knew him would know that it was him. I begin to walk like him, yet I didn't know him. I will begin to have knowledge of things that he knew that I didn't know. So that's why people believe. But what is that? That is a familiar spirit. Because we are finite, but we have spirits who have been on this planet for billions of years. And we call these familiar spirits. And it's possible in my context, I'm not saying take it this way. But it could as well have been a familiar spirit that was taking after Samuel. But whatever it is that came up, the Samuel that came up, he says something that is very, very important that I want us to turn our thoughts to. I preach too long, so you have to forgive me. I preach too long. So when you feel that I have too much, Pastor John, you just have to say time up. Half time. All right. All right. So that's verse. Where is it? Verse 10? Let's read that. We are still on 1 Samuel 28. Let me see. There is something that that Samuel says. Oh, no, it's verse 15. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me, and no longer answers me, either through prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may make known to me that what I should do." But then Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy?" God has become your enemy. And I pray that none in this auditorium would become an enemy of God, or God would become your enemy. It's not a nice thing for God to be against you. I'm reminded in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were crossing, going out of Egypt, going into the land of Canaan. You know, when they were crossing the Red Sea, the Bible says that God stood between the Israelite camp and the Egyptians, and God became an enemy. In fact, the Egyptians say in Exodus 14, 24 to 25, they say, "The Lord fought against Egypt and threw off the wheels of the chariots, jammed the chariots." Oh my goodness. Not will God only be quiet, but in his anger, he will begin to fight you and your progress and even your relationships. If you continue to be disobedient to God, like Saul was disobedient to God, not only will God become quiet on you when you pray. You know, it's a funny thing that when we pray, we actually know when God is quiet and when God is speaking. He may not say words, but you really feel it in your heart that God is so distant away from me. You really feel it in your heart that I'm not walking with the Lord. God is not on my side. And it's a terrifying thing when God is fighting against you because you are walking in disobedience like Saul the king did. It will affect your life. You find that you begin to spiral down in your life. God will begin to fight your health. God will begin to fight your progress. God will begin to fight you in your social context. And I want to encourage you, brethren, to bring our life back to the Lord and to allow the Holy Spirit to come upon our lives and to begin to seek the Lord instead of seeking other things in the place of the Lord, to seek His wisdom, to seek His guidance, to seek His strength, to allow the Holy Spirit to transform you into the person that He wants you to be, so that in your life you will be able to serve Him through the Spirit of His grace. Hallelujah. I want to be able to pray, even as I've come to the end of this service or this sermon or the things that I felt that the Lord was putting on my heart. But I want to pray particularly for those people who feel like Saul, the king. He was so broken. He was at the end of his life. He was hopeless. He was distressed. In fact, the Bible says after Samuel had appeared to him, that King Saul refused to eat the whole day. He was not fasting, to the best of my knowledge, but he could not eat. He was just devastated. It affected his ability to eat. There are people who are so anxious today, and I want you to recommit your life to the Lord and just to say, God, I'm coming back to you. I don't want to be like Saul, who allowed a different spirit to come upon his life. I want you, Lord, to come, to allow your spirit to come upon my life. And I am so glad and excited to be in a church that believes in the Holy Spirit. And I would want to ask you to maybe stand for a moment as I pray for you. I'll pray. Just raise your hands if you want, or I don't know, however you want to do it. Father, I want to thank you for this, my dear brothers and sisters, for your love that I feel, Lord, you have, and I know you have for them. I know that, Lord, you want to bless them. You don't want them to be like Saul. You want them to succeed in their walk with you, in the battles that they face in their own lives, that, Lord, you want to give them victory, that they will not tend to anything else, but that they will look up unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I pray that, Lord, you may continue to encourage them. It may be difficult as they face the enemy, the Philistines, but I pray that your spirit will come upon them with power, that, Lord, they will be able to prophesy into their situation and to challenge the mountains that they face, to speak into the adversary that they face and to say to the enemy, I'm going to defeat you, for I come in the name of our Lord. I pray for those who are particularly depressed, for those who are anxious because of the things that they are going through, because of the medical results that they are waiting for, because of their financial predicament, which is unpredictable, because of their social relationships, Lord, which are not where they need to be. I pray that, Lord, you may come through for them and that, Lord, you may bring your spirit upon their realities and bring transformation by your spirit. I pray that, Lord, you may allow your spirit to move even as I pray, to touch and to bring warmth into their hearts, to fill them with power, to fill them with grace, to fill them with anointing unsurpassed. I thank you, Lord. I bless you through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you so much. I will give this time over to Pastor John.